want to change things in Washington, then vote blah, blah, blah for bloopity bloop. Blah, blah, blah voted to keep blah for blah. Vote for blibbity blah. Strong on blah, not weak on blah, blah, blah.
I'm bloopity bloop, and I approve this blah.
This message paid for by the blah to blah, blah, blah.
Welcome back, y'all, to Rosie on the House. We don't generally talk politics, but I couldn't resist and I couldn't help myself. Today we're talking the dirtiest presidential elections in American history, here with Assistant Professor of History from Grand Canyon University, Dr. David Dean, and his intern, Victoria Allen East from El Paso. Victoria, thanks for getting up and joining us. How did he talk you into this?
He promised free breakfast.
She's buying, though.
Has he made good on that?
Well, we were setting up in the dark this morning. Boy, I thought we'd be the only ones out here. We're broadcasting live from Superlight Old Castle Manufacturing Facility in Chandler, Arizona, where they are conducting the fastest trowel contest sponsored by the Arizona Masonry Guild. It's a lot of fun if you like to watch construction. Boy, these guys have blazing trowels. And I don't know. I said 20 teams. There may even be more than that. We'll get somebody from the sponsoring team here to tell us what the actual count is, and the fastest trowel will then be awarded the privilege of going forward and competing in the national fastest trowel contest. You know, Dr. David Dean, there's a reason no fire stations are ever built out of wood.
What?
There's a reason for that.
Is there a Rosie team going to be competing out here?
There is not a Rosie team competing out here today. I would never be called the fastest at anything. I can get it done. But if I work for you, you would never want to pay me piecework. And I wouldn't want to work for piecework because I'd starve. But when it's done right.
My dad and I replaced one section of our block fence one summer day. And that was some really hard work. And that's the most teetery. It's a monument to the amateur. And so why you hire professionals to do such things.
Oh, well, it's going to be fun watching these guys, the way they can throw that mud and stack those blocks really is incredible. All right, we're talking about the dirtiest presidential elections in history, and you mentioned that Adams and Jackson was definitely one of the ones. It in this book, Anything for a Vote, that I'm reading right now, it really was all but disgusting how personal and insultive they got, not between each other, but between their family members. And the things they were saying about each other's wives was absolutely disgusting.
It goes down as in case studies as this is the birth of modern mudslinging, anything on the table kind of politics.
It's never been clean, right?
No, not really. But you know, one of the probably a cleaner election, because it was only one issue, was when Polk ran. He ran on one issue. It's not about building the wall. He was all about 54-40 or fight, selecting the border between us and Canada. And that was his whole issue. We were going to solve this issue between what's ours and what's Canadian. And that was his whole issue. And he got that done. He hoped to take part of the Southwest. That's why we went to war with Mexico. And at the end of his term, he's like, hey, I accomplished everything I needed to do. Washed his hands and walked away.
Hardly any single issue elections anymore.
No, they're very complicated.
They're really this election is really a zero issue election. They haven't covered anything. It's driving me nuts.
They spend more time talking about each other,
yes,
than talking about their issues and their plans.
Yeah, come on, give me a visionary, give me a leader. Let's talk a little bit about Utah. Jackson was from the West at that time, being from Tennessee. When was the first real Western candidate that we had? Would that be our own Barry Goldwater?
Probably from the West. We have other people that ascribe to the West, like Teddy Roosevelt and even LBJ.
The Maltese Ranch.
But when we think about truly a Westerner, that Western individualist, rugged American, manifest destiny guy kind of person, we think of Barry Goldwater in the 1964 campaign, which is surprisingly a reluctant candidate onto the national stage, pushed there by conservatives to kind of check the Democratic juggernaut of the Kennedy administration. And, of course, that would be carried on into the Johnson administration. And so they kind of pushed him forward. That's a tough – Kennedy's assassination is a tough thing to come in and then run against. And so he was reluctant to take the – take the offer of the nomination, but he shouldered it as a good soldier of the Republican Party and then put his own kind of take on it, that Western individualist kind of mind on it. And we get a very interesting campaign that has many of the same rhetoric that we see today.
All the soldiers come home from World War II. Franklin Roosevelt's been promising everybody a Model T in every garage and a chicken in every pot, right? Mm-hmm. They come home, they instigate Social Security, they instigate the GI Bill, they instigate a lot of things that are very generous that the government historically has not provided. So we go FDR, Truman, Eisenhower, JFK, and now at that point in history, Goldwater's pushed forward as a conservative to try and stop all this government spending?
Sort of. Goldwater will actually spend some time talking about kind of returning to the days of Eisenhower. Government spending, of course, in the military defense and fighting the Cold War, or at least participating in that, and then the highway, federal highway system. But for the most part,
kudos for the federal highway system.
Kudos for that, and for the GI Bill.
The GI Bill, yes.
So we've got some good things out of it. But
amen.
He sees kind of the move, the largesse of government, continuing to enroll people into more dependency on the government, and he ideologically starts to kind of suggest that there's a problem with that, and he articulates a number of kind of conservative ideals in his. In his speech at the Republican convention, but they're mistaken as being isolationist, being escalating war, being kind of trigger happy. And so he's really kind of thinking about communism, and that's not what is on everybody's mind in 1964.
Well, the opposing party took a lot of liberties in their marketing and their advertising in that particular campaign to instill a lot of fear. And mm-hmm. fear is a big driving motivator for the vote. The fear of your wallet, the fear of your safety, the fear for your family, the fear of your borders. We're talking presidential elections here at Rosie on the House. We do have a full regular program on the show where Jennifer is not going to let us talk politics the entire 4 hours. At 8 o'clock, we've got John J. Harper joining us for the Outdoor Hour. 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock are also packed as well. We're going to be talking with Sun Valley Solar. We'll be talking with the folks from Oldcastle Superlight, all right here at Rosie on the House.
Home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's RosieOnTheHouse.com.